Would take your Bibles and open them to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. If nothing happens, we'll try to finish the book of Hebrews tonight, and we'll begin Sunday morning a study on 1 John, then 2nd and 3rd John. It's very short. It will not take long to cover most of the chapters. Then we'll begin a study with the book of Revelation, and that will conclude our New Testament study. We'll start back over in the book of Genesis. Made mention at the men's Bible study on Sunday afternoon for some suggestions for subject matter to look at. Both from a from the pulpit and as far as Bible class is concerned. And we're just about through with the study on the Restoration Movement on Monday night. So we, if you've got any suggestions on our Monday night study once a month, be glad for you to give me some suggestions on that. If I don't hear anything, then I'll pick the subject. Be thinking about one subject that's already been suggested and wanted to look at was angels, the study on angels. And that'll be really good because we can kind of cover that when we begin our study in the book of Revelation, because angels is mentioned quite a bit in our study of the book of Revelation. And of course, we've talked about angels throughout the Old Testament as we've come through. So we'll take a little bit of time to talk about what the Bible allows us to talk about in angels. There's a lot we want to know about angels that I don't know that the Holy Spirit gave us, saw fit to give us the answer to. But we'll try to discuss what he gave us information to talk about on the category of angels. Now remember, if you will, we said we were really at a breaking point when we left the journeys of the Apostle Paul. We've already committed a study. We've covered the book of James. We've covered 1st and 2nd Peter. We've covered Jude. We've covered Hebrews. Now, we said that all of these books were written either right at the end of Paul's journeys or shortly thereafter. Remember, when we looked at the book of Hebrews, we said that it was written from 3 to 5 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. And, of course, that took place in AD 70. So the Hebrew epistle was written before AD 70, some think around 67, 68 AD. Now we're going to slide a little bit over into the 80s when we began Sunday morning in 1 John. So you can kind of see that we're quickly approaching the end of the first century. And that's what we're trying to do, is go through the entire Bible chronologically. So from a chronological standpoint, we're winding it down toward the end of the first century. When we start looking at Revelation and we do the introduction to it, we'll talk about all the questions as to when people think the book of Revelation was written. And there's a lot of different aspects to that. But most people think that the book of Revelation was written after 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, which would throw it around 90 to 95 AD. So as you can see, we're right at the end of the first century. And that's the reason that we wanted to look at the church and the falling away in our Monday night studies, because we've been able to take that study and go from the end of the first century, and now we're already to the 18th century. ministry looking at the beginning of the restoration movement. And so we're bringing the restoration study right down to the point of the Civil War and talking about the restoration movement before and after the Civil War. So all of this kind of fits in our chronological study of the Bible and the church. But remember, if you will, when we started Sunday night, we were looking at the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we did not get past verse 1 because we talked about brotherly love. Now, when you really begin to look at the last chapter, what the Hebrew writer is doing is just kind of hitting up, and we call it a melody, a series of different subjects that he talks about as he closes out this epistle. But I want you to notice how that this brotherly love topic just kind of flows with everything else. Remember, if you will, we said it was going to hit the first six verses, was going to talk about social problems, brotherly love. Verses 7 through 17 is going to talk about religious problems. And then last of all, as he closes out, personal instructions for the child of God. Remember how needful that will be. Because the whole purpose of the book of Hebrews was to encourage those first century Christians from a Jewish background to not leave the faith. What's about to happen? Persecution is going to switch from Jewish persecution to Roman persecution. The Roman emperors are going to start doing the persecuting. Remember, we're living under Nero. Nero was in power and was responsible for Paul's death outside the city of Rome. Nero was responsible for Peter's death. You're going to leave Nero and you're going to hit about three little old emperors that didn't last a year and a half total. And then you're going to hit a person by the name of Vespucian. And then last, Domitian. Domitian would be the emperor that would be in reign when the book of Revelation was written, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And even Revelation, there's a possibility, could have been written during the time of Vespucian. But right now we're dealing with Nero, end of his reign, and the Hebrew epistle, as well as other epistles that was written like 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude and those epistles. They were written, James, for the purpose of getting Christians to remain faithful. They're going to face some of the hardest persecution. It's really hard for you and I to even wrap our minds around what the early church went through. I mean, they were being burned at the stake. They couldn't buy groceries. It was really a terrible situation for them to go through. So not only was the Hebrew writer trying to get Christians, don't go back into Judaism, but don't leave the faith. And knowing that, the Hebrew epistle kind of made argument after argument after argument on the superiority of Christ and his covenant as opposed to Moses and his covenant. And we've seen that played out. Now notice, if you will, in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. And notice how he goes from there. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. You see how that kind of flows with let brotherly love continue? Because not only is brotherly love a necessity for a local congregation to grow and mature, but brotherly love is a necessity if you're going to treat people the way the Bible wants us to treat them. And if you're going to be involved in the communities around you, don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. And look at the example why. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, we'll kind of talk about this a little bit more when we start Revelation when it comes to angels. But one of the things that we forget about, what do we normally think about when we think about an angel? If you see a picture of an angel, what do you see?
Somebody in white wings.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, a lot of times people think there's female angels, but there's never been a female angel.
But we don't see a distinction in male or female. Right. It's just angels.
They portray them as women a lot.
Just angels. But as a normal aspect, when you think of angels, you think about someone flying around with wings. Now, is that a true description?
They can probably fly.
Can you think where that would have been a reality? Can you remember anything from our study? What did Isaiah say? What did Isaiah say that really brought him to his knees? He saw some beings flying around, and what did they have? Huge trains that flowed from the ceiling to the floor. And it upset him so much that he just fell to his knees. And he said, "Oh, says I'm a sinner." So when you're beginning to think about the study of angels, don't hem in angels now and just think in one category, because Isaiah saw angelic beings in a vision. John is going to see angelic beings in a vision. Well, what does the Hebrew writer portray an angel at here?
Well, it's a man, a person. Because
look just like a person. Yeah. Says, can you think where this ever happened? Where?
In the Old Testament.
What?
In the Old Testament.
In the Old Testament, but where? Can you think a minute? About our old study.
Lot's house.
Abraham and Lot. Absolutely. So, you know, when you're thinking about angels, think about angels. Yes, they're angelic beings. And yeah, sometimes they look like men, because it says right here that Abraham, that sometimes that these biblical characters entertain strangers. And then in some cases, an angel is nothing more than a human being. That's got a message to care, a spiritual message to care someone else, to somewhere else. Have you ever thought about devil has an angel? So you see, when you really open up that umbrella and you just go to talking about angels, it can get into a rather lengthy study. So we're looking here at a specific type of angel. And the Hebrew writer tells these people in his day and time, you let brotherly love continue and don't be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now why would it be helpful? Now we're not necessarily talking about entertaining angels, but in this case right here, why would it be necessary for these people to let brotherly love continue and to entertain strangers? Why would they need to entertain strangers?
You're teaching. Okay. If you don't teach a stranger, you go.
Okay. How did you go? How did you travel? Could you just call up and say, "Oh, I want to reserve a room in the Holiday Inn. I'm going to be in such and such place at such and such time. I'll just ring up the Holiday Inn and get me a room." Where would you expect to stay if you were traveling? You sleep under a tree, or you could be entertained by someone that was benevolent, kind, opened up the door. it's kind of hard for us to really envision this today, because if you opened up your door today, what might you expect? Well, I'm not talking about it. You could expect to not have anything left if you were gone. And I've seen Larry Walker's the worst. Somebody come in the building, walking. Well, I need to go to Tupelo. We'd be living in Oxford. Well, he'd put them in his car and he'd take them to Tupelo. Or he'd say, no, I can't do it now. Come on over to the house and stay at the house. But, you know, you've got to be careful and quite selective today. But yet, have you noticed how things have changed? For example, years ago, if a preacher was coming in to hold a week or 2 week gospel meeting, where did they stay? Stayed where they? Somebody's home.
Just being a Christian.
Christian could get you jail time. You could be persecuted. You could be put in prison. So, you know, not only do you need to be benevolent with people traveling, Christians coming through that might need a home to stay, but you need to be mindful there are people in prisons. They're in bonds. They're in chains because they're nothing more than a Christian. So you need to be mindful of those. So very quickly, you see, three things mentioned in three verses. And then notice, if you will, in the 25th chapter of Matthew, Jesus used the illustration of one group feeding him, one group rejecting. In other words, I was in jail and you brought me some water. I was naked and you clothed me. Well, you like that. Well, what he was saying was, did you do that to those classes of people? And then you hit verse 4 here, and it completely kind of switches a little bit. Marriage is honorable and all, and men are defiled, and whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he that has said, I will never leave thee, nor turn and forsake thee. Now this is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 31. Then he's going to quote in verse 6 from Psalms 118, where he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now this was a help to David. Remember, David's the one who said, I'm going to footstep between me and death. Saul's right on my heels. He's about to take my wife any time. Well, what's about to happen to these Christians? The Roman government, the emperors are about to persecute them, take their lives. Their children can't eat. They don't have clothes. So you can kind of see where this would apply just as it did back in Psalms, David's day. Now notice what he says in verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. Who's he talking about here? Who would have the rule over?
The apostles.
Don't think he's talking about elders here. Well, a little bit later. But who would have the rule over them? Government, law enforcement officers. Notice what he says. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So you're considering in general what's taking place, but then he drops it to the teachers, to people that have been instrumental in bringing the truth to them. You remember those people. Well, just remember what had happened. Very early on, Stephen was persecuted to death. James the Apostle lost his life. Peter had now lost his life. Paul had lost his life. So he's saying, now look, be respectful of those who have helped you, brought the Word of God to you, ministered to you, in that way. Then he talks about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Back in Malachi chapter 3, he says that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And then look what he says. Don't be carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, if you went back to Judaism, what were you going to do? There was meats you could eat, meats you couldn't. Under the new covenant, what difference did it make? none whatsoever. But even look today how it still applies. I remember when I was a kid in school, you know, when we had fish.
Right.
So you see, even today, what the Hebrew writer is saying is, look, you know, don't go back under that law. Don't pay any attention to Judaism. And don't be forced to observe meats. Remember in Acts 10, what problem did Peter have when he was showed some meat and told him to eat it? Oh, no, Lord, I couldn't eat that. And was rebuked. And he said, look, it's clean. So even Peter kind of could see what the Hebrew writer's talking about here. Then he goes on and he talks about an altar. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought to the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the count. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the count. See what he's doing? He's comparing and contrasting. Why do you want to go back to the old law when the priest could not even eat the meat that was offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the people? A sin offering they could not eat. What did they have to do with what was left over? Took it outside the city and burnt the carcasses. Could not eat it. It was a sin to eat. Then he says, but look what we have. Our Lord, the sinless Son of God himself, was taken outside the city. And he was offered as a sacrifice for you and I on the cross of Calvary. Look what we have, and look what you're thinking about going back under. Don't do that. Let us go forth, he said, unto the him without the count bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Let us offer sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. Remember, if you will, back when we were looking at the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Remember, Paul tells the Roman Christians, be not conformed to this world, but be steadfast and offer sacrifices to God. Spiritual sacrifices. So the Hebrew writer is simply saying here, now look, we need to sing praise. We need to offer sacrifices to God continually. Now, notice in verse 17, we hit the elders. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. See, it leaves no distinction here. Submit yourselves unto them, for they watch for your soul. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, I don't know whether you've ever noticed it or not, but elders put on their breeches the same way every other man in the congregation does every day. And sometimes they say things they shouldn't say. They make mistakes. But what does the Hebrew writer say? How's the way to approach it? You would approach it like you would every time. You come to the elders. And you look them right in the face and says, brother, do you really think you made the right judgment here? I think what he's trying to say is respect the elders, because they're going to judge. They're going to be judged at the judgment on a higher critical stage than even you yourself, because they have a responsibility to watch for your soul, to feed your spiritual souls. Yes, they may make mistakes from time to time. Address it. Address it. Talk to them. Don't go behind their backs. And on Sunday dinner, don't have fried elders, barbecue deacons, and skinned preachers. You know, there's a way to handle it. There's a way to deal with your differences. The way not to deal with it is behind people's backs. So often, that's the beginning of the end when it comes to having an organized group of people worshiping together in harmony, is when you get broken up into cliques, and one clique's, well, I'm not satisfied with Brother So-and-so. No, and I tell you, I'm not either. But Brother So-and-so never knows that they're unhappy with what's going on. So he tells them. Notice, if you will, verse 19, I beseech you rather to do this, that I may restore you to the summer. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we said, when we began this study, we didn't know who wrote the book. I've always just referred to it as the Hebrew writer. The Hebrew writer wrote by inspiration. I leave it to you. You've looked at 13 chapters. You can think within your mind, who would you think about that could have possibly written this book? Laid it out the way he did. Used the language that he used. Salute all of them. No, verse 23. Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I'll see you. Salute all of them that have a rule over you, all the saints. They'll immediately salute you. Grace be you. Be with you all. Amen. So he closes out talking about a young preacher by the name of Timothy. He said, if he is set at liberty, I don't know exactly, it's kind of hard. Some think he may have been in prison, the other thinks he may have been on an engagement somewhere, and he's going to be released from that obligation and he'll be able to come, whether he's in prison or somewhere working. But the Hebrew writer said, look, I hear he's going to be here quickly, and I want to see him, and we can see him, and if he's set at liberty, with whom he comes shortly, I'll see you with him and we'll be together. So we have concluded the book of Hebrews, and I don't want to take too much of Charles' time. If you have any questions on it, be free to write them down. We can address them Sunday morning before we begin our study with 1 John. So read 1 John.